Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
These are players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome to hour number two of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. We'll talk a lot of Lady Tiger hoops. Huge game on Saturday night, Valentine's Day night. We've been waiting for this one ever since it was announced that they would be playing this game on a Saturday instead of the traditional days that SEC women's basketball are played on, which, of course, are Thursday, Sunday, and then, of course, they always have that standalone game on Monday on the SEC Network. But they're putting this game on ABC. That's I was trying to think, and we got Reed Darcy from The Advocate. I was trying to think, guys. I mean, I know when they played South Carolina 2 years ago, and that was on a weeknight. I remember that. It was on a Thursday night.
Well, they played on Super Bowl Sunday one time, too.
Yeah, but not in
– That was like – was that Nikki Fargus there?
No.
Kim and Dawn Staley played on Super
so that
Bowl
been
Sunday 23 or 24.
Well, 24 was here.
23.
It was 23.
It was 23 now, but that was at South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
the game in 24 was the loudest I've ever heard the Assembly Center, and I'm talking about going back to Shaq and CJ days.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I'm serious. It was wild.
Well, this is a huge game Saturday, Jeff, because I'm covering. Tiger Rag is double staffing this game,
and they should. They should. Yes. I mean, when
I'm sure. Glad that he warned Reed, so Reed could take precautions.
It's going to be a little tight in that press box area there in the corner of the Maravich Center. So let's bring in Reed Darcy into the conversation. And Reed, just like TigerRag.com is doing, you're already starting to write the preview pieces. It's kind of nice. You don't have the Thursday game.
It's like a football game.
Yeah, there's a nice little build up after beating up on Auburn. But let's go backwards just a second here to the Texas game. That was a disappointing loss, but there's nothing wrong with going on the road, playing a top-five team, battling with them for three quarters, and then just, well, the fourth quarter didn't go your way. Texas's defense was good. You're playing in a loud environment. Those things kind of happen. But any learning lessons that you can take from that game that could potentially help them Saturday night against South Carolina?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, guys, is the priority of winning the possession battle and taking care of the ball on the offensive end of the floor and forcing turnovers on the defensive end of the floor. You know, things really started to fall apart for LSU early in that fourth quarter when they started turning the ball over. I believe in the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, they had about twice as many turnovers as they had shots. And that's really when things got away from them. To give Texas credit, I mean, their defense is just suffocating, and it's hard to play a clean game of basketball against them. They're the best defense in the country. But that's something that LSU is really going to have to be able to do well on Saturday against South Carolina. You know, if they don't force enough turnovers, if they don't force South Carolina to give away enough possessions, I think they're going to have a tough time winning, because South Carolina is just such a rock-solid defensive team. You know, they do a really good job of defending the rim, do a really good job of preventing opponents from scoring in the paint. And so that's going to be tough, real tough for LSU to do in the half court. So they probably need to get out in transition, get easy buckets that way, as opposed to playing a slower game. So it all starts with the turnovers. I think that's the number one thing I'll be looking for on Saturday.
Hey, Reed, when you look at how LSU and South Carolina match up, first of all, you know, South Carolina has won 17 consecutive games against LSU, and Kim is 0-5 in our matchups against Staley. But I think that you and the rest of us pretty much had calculated this would be LSU's best chance in a long time to really beat South Carolina. But, you know, after watching South Carolina just rip up the court against Tennessee and shoot 69%, and when the defense that you talked about that South Carolina plays, I don't see much matchup success for LSU anywhere unless, like you said, they get the turnovers. So minus the turnovers and handling the ball well themselves and not turning the ball over, do they have a chance?
Yeah, they absolutely do have a chance. I think, like you said, Todd, I think this is the best chance that they have had so far, because I think that this is the best team on paper that Mulkey has had so far at LSU. It's certainly the deepest team that she's had so far. The thing about South Carolina is what they've always been like this. They come at you in waves. You know, Dawn can bring 10 players into a rotation, 10, 11 even, and there's no drop-off. Like, they can go as deep as any team in the country, and that's how they've been able to build such a dominant stretch over these past few years. Now Kim has a team that I think can match some of that. Not all of it, but some of it. You know, she can go 8 or 9 deep and not suffer any kind of drop-off in production. That's different from what she's had in the past, you know. But at the same time, like, I think before the season, you know, South Carolina lost Chloe Kitts, their star forward, to an injury before the year. And I thought, okay, maybe that might hurt their depth a little bit. It might change some things about them. But no. I was wrong. They're as deep, as tall, as long as they've ever been. And it's just, to me, where it stands out the most is in the front court. There's just so much length and height and size and skill on that area of the floor for them that it's going to be really, really difficult for LSU to get anything inside.
What kind of role do you think Malaysia Fulwiley will play in this game for LSU?
I think she will come off the bench, and she will have to take care of the ball and make sure that she does not put herself into foul trouble. That's the two most important things for her. If she is taking care of the ball, not committing, you know, silly turnovers, and then not compounding those mistakes by committing unnecessary fouls like she has done at some point this season, then she can be a really important part of this game for LSU. You know, she has the potential, she has the ability to just change the complexion of games as soon as she checks in. I mean, we saw that a little bit against Texas in Austin. We've seen that at points throughout the SEC slate of games that LSU has played, but we have not seen them consistently. She just has a tendency to make these little mental errors that kind of get in the way and kind of undo the really good things she can do. So I think if she can minimize those little mistakes that she is prone to making and make more of the, you know, the spectacular and the breathtaking plays that she's so good at making, then LSU has a really good shot to win, because she really is the X factor. She has been all year.
When you look at the matchups, again, going back to the matchups and talking about the depth that, you know, and the waves that Staley can hit you with South Carolina's lineups, where does LSU really have, in your opinion, an advantage over South Carolina, or do they?
I'm not sure they do, but if I have to pick one, I think it would probably be shot creation in the half courts. I don't mean to minimize South Carolina's ability here, because they have players who can create their own shots. But, you know, when you think about Flage and Michaela and Jada Richard and Malaysia Fulwiley, to an extent, they can all kind of create their own shots and do their own little thing if the offense breaks down, whereas South Carolina kind of has a more structured offense, you know, a more catch-and-shoot kind of base offense that starts with their forward, Joyce Edwards, in the middle. You know, if LSU needs a tough bucket, if they need to score in the mid-range, I think I like their chances a little bit better than South Carolina does, you know, just because Michaela Williams and Flashe Johnson and now Jada Richard have shown that they can hit those shots pretty consistently. So that's one area that if the game slows down, if it gets into a half court kind of game. I think that plays into South Carolina's hands. But at the same time, LSU has the shot creators to win that kind of way. They just need those shots to go in, which didn't really happen enough against Texas.
Talking with Reed Darcy from the Advocate. This is Tiger Rag Radio, Super Chevy Dealer Studio, broadcasting live tonight from the East Baton Rouge Library, the Goodwood Boulevard, the main branch of the library. Reed, what do you make out of the season that Flaw J. Johnson has had? She's been shooting the three-pointer better than she has. Her scoring average is down, but that would be expected because there's more scorers on this team. But yet, in those three losses, those were not her best games. What kind of game did it – what do you make out of her performances in the losses, and what do they need from her Saturday night? This is her, you know, her senior season. You would think this would be a game where she just goes out there and, you know, scores 19, 20, 21 points, something like that, and is active on both sides of the floor. Give me your thoughts on Flaw J and where she's at right now.
Yeah, I think she's been fine. Has she been perfect? No. You know, and it's tough, you know, because, you know, you look at the numbers and we say that LSU is winning more with depth, more so than they have in years past, which they absolutely have. But I think in the games like these against Texas and South Carolina, the top teams in the SEC, it's really important for the star players to really step up and shoulder most of the offense. Now, Mikayla Williams did a pretty good job of that in Austin last week. So Flaw J, I think the thing for her is just it's so important for her to get in a rhythm early, to see those first two shots go in, to really figure out how she can contribute to a game. Because if she's just trying to create off the dribble, then that's some ways she can kind of get in trouble. But where she's really at her best is when LSU is forcing things on the defensive end of the floor, forcing turnovers, getting stops, getting rebounds, and going out and run, and then putting her out an open floor so that she can do things around the rim and get layups like that and work, you know, kind of opposite Mikayla Williams and have Mikayla run some of the offense and have her set things up for Flaw J, reverse the ball, get those kinds of things and run LSU through its actions. I think Flaw J has a tendency to kind of get in some kind of trouble when she tries to beat longer, taller defenders one-on-one. She kind of just needs to get into a rhythm early on, and that starts with what she can do in transition and what Mikayla can set up for her. So, you know, I think, you know, she has, throughout her career, she's tended to elevate her games in these big moments. I think back to her sophomore year in the tournament, how she really leveled up her game and really became the player that we thought she could become and the player she is today. So it just, for her, it just depends on getting back to that that ability she has, which we've seen before, is to elevate things when LSU really needs her to the most.
Man, we just had somebody walk through the library here who looks exactly like Larry David from Kirby Enthusiast. I swear to God, I did like a triple take. Oh my God. But anyway, speaking of elevating your game, Reed, are you going to elevate your game? This is a big one, man. You're a young guy. You're doing really well covering women. I just want to know, man, you ready for this game?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to – I got to write sharp, you know, my phrasing and my structuring has to be on point. My questions have to be –
get those participles ready.
Nice.
Get those dangling modifiers out of there, you know.
And be fully, I really got to sharpen things up. This one highlights that brightest, you know.
And be fully hydrated because the press conference post-game is going to be – you know, it could be wild.
Could be very wild. Hey, Reed, I wanted –
especially if Glenn is there.
Hey, I wanted to ask you too, Reed, real quick. What was your impression of Lane Kiffin? You were at that press conference last week. What would you think about that real quick?
I think it's kind of unusual how uncomfortable he is in those kind of moments.
Yeah.
You know, in those settings. So that's the first thing I noticed when he walked in, but I thought he said everything, you know, he said everything he was supposed to say. He did a good job of not setting the expectations too high and saying that, yeah, they look good on paper, but now they have to work for it and they have to earn it and they have to become a good team. And that doesn't happen in January. It happens, starts in the spring and then goes, you know, through August. So, you know, he said all the right things, but for that kind of setting, that kind of just traditional press conference kind of look, you know, it's just kind of unusual to see just kind of how uneasy he looked in that moment. Now, I don't know if he actually was or not, but it kind of stands a contrast to the persona he has kind of created for himself online.
Hey, he's just fidgety like Saban was, really, but a little more.
Hey, so let's get back to basketball before we break, Reed. And thank you again for your time. But, okay, this game's really, really important to Kim Mulkey personally, or she could care less.
I think the competitor in her wants to win it pretty badly. You know, she's a maniacal competitor, as we all know, but she'll probably say publicly that it is just one game and that they don't need to win this game to win the national championship. They will probably get a top four tournament seed, as she really wants to do, with or without this game. And so that's really what she cares about. I think she just wants them to be playing their best in March, and that's what she'll say publicly. But at the same time, you have to guess that it's eating, you know, she really wants this one. It's eating her out inside, just knowing how much of a competitor she is, you know.
I think it will gnaw at her until they get to the postseason that they don't win this game.
There's never been a coach that's had her number
in
her whole career like Dawn Staley does.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Breed, thanks a lot, man. We'll let you get some rest. Big game Saturday night. Thanks a lot for helping us break it down.
Sure. Anytime, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Reed Darcy from the Advocate. We got to take a break. We're late as usual, so let's get to that right now. This is Tiger Rag Radio from the remote Super Chevy dealer studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Tiger Rag Radio broadcasting tonight from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. Heard from a couple of great library guests here earlier. We're still talking some hoops here. And don't forget, if you are just catching us midway through, want to listen to our interview with Jay Johnson, for instance, in the first hour, well, we are anywhere you can get your podcast. Also, the show is uploaded to YouTube, 40 minutes or so, 30 minutes, whatever it is, something like that, an hour, whatever. It'll be up a little bit later on. We also had Kendall Rogers on in the first hour as well.
That's a good way to get people to click on our website.
Yeah.
It'll also be on TigerRag.com.
Tomorrow morning, yes.
Well, at later tonight.
Oh, you know, it does go up on TigerRag.com later tonight. Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to try to get Larry David in just a few minutes.
It's fascination of Larry David. We're talking hoops, mainly in hour number two. Obviously, good interview there with Reed Darcy previewing Saturday night's game. LSU men, they are 2-8 as we do this broadcast and getting ready to play Arkansas tonight.
Rematch.
Yes.
Played well in the last game, but that was with DJ.
Yeah, and no DJ again. Arkansas is without a couple of players. I don't know if that opens the door or not. Saturday, just another disappointing loss for Coach Matt McMahon. They get up by double digits.
15.
And then you can't hit a three-pointer to save your life. You miss 16 straight three-pointers. And then
that's hard to do.
And then in the last few minutes of the game, you're throwing passes to the guy in the second row of the stands.
And they couldn't pick up the ball. Like, the ball was on the floor, and they couldn't pick it up. It was hard to watch.
Giving up offensive rebounds on free throws. It's just about as pathetic as you can get.
As hard as it is to watch, as hard as that game was to watch, though, when you go back and look at the stats, it really did all come down to those three-pointers.
Yeah.
That was the difference in the game. That was also the difference in the Arkansas game, too. Where the freshman guard that's all world, what's his name, Acuna or
Acuff, right?
Acuff. He hit like nine straight.
Ten
straight threes. Yeah, that was.
But that's what good teams have. They have players that can take over the game. He's a good player. LSU does not have any good players.
They have some decent players, but they don't have a player to take over the game without DJ.
Well, Nwoko can foul at any time.
McKinnon is a decent player. I'll give you that. He'd be a nice player on a lot of good teams, but this is going nowhere fast, guys. So where do we go? Where do we go from here in the last couple minutes with this program?
Larry King.
Larry David. Well, Larry David just walked by
not,
again.
Not Larry King, Andre.
Luke.
Good guess,
Larry. Wrong Larry.
Wow. Larry David.
No, but you're right. You know, there was a couple of times in that game Saturday where LSU was down by about 8 or 9 and they're at the free throw line and they made the first free throw and it was like they missed. It was like they were trying to miss the second free throw on purpose to get the rebound. They didn't get the rebound either time. So, you know, and I just don't know what to expect from them. I expect them to lose, unfortunately. But, you know, they can come out and get out to a great lead and then blow it, or they'll play bad in the first half and then come back. Or, you know, who knows? They could win. So, they did play – a lot of guys played well at Arkansas in addition to DJ, but that's the thing about DJ. As Max McKinnon said in my story that's on the website now, he's like gravity.
You're right.
He brings so many people toward him in the lane, and he makes everybody around him better. And when they don't have him, they don't have gravity.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how – what they – I mean, I wish – we got to hit another break here, and we're going to talk some women's basketball, and Glenn's going to go cover the men's team and then chase down Larry David in the parking lot beforehand.
Dude, Larry David walked by, and he looked right at us like he knew we had been talking about him. That was crazy.
And y'all all agree with me, too.
No, I didn't see him the first time. The second time, he certainly did.
I thought the look was weird.
Well, Larry is kind of different.
All right. Okay.
Greatest show on HBO history, though.
All right. Well, let's go to break, Glenn. Enjoy the game. It should be fascinating to see what they do. Anyways, more women's basketball talk when we come back. Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk will join us here on Tiger Rag Radio from the remote Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Is that a real name, Game?
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious. With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now, back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and our producer, Andre Champagne, we continue to broadcast from the East Baton Rouge Parish, Maine Library on Goodwood Boulevard as we are inside the remote Super Chevy Dealer Studio tonight. Talking a lot of women's basketball in the second hour. Sixth-ranked LSU and third-ranked South Carolina set to do battle inside the Maravich Center on Valentine's Day night. Here to talk a little bit more about it, get the South Carolina perspective of this matchup, it's Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk. Captain, how you doing tonight?
I am doing amazing. How y'all doing? How y'all doing, man?
Oh, we're doing very well. We're doing well. How does this South Carolina team compare to some of the other great teams that Dawn Staley's had? Is this there's this perception in Baton Rouge that, hey, this team is gettable this season. Is that an accurate way of looking at it?
I would say that this team doesn't have as much quality depth that we've had in the past. It's more top heavy and unproven. The depth that's on the bench, the two freshmen, and I'm talking about a God McCurr and Isla Madow, and you know, and then we got a Dale Tack and such on the bench, aren't proven like we've had in the past. When we had, you know, I mean, George Edwards came off the bench last season. You know, Ashlyn Watkins came off the bench last season. We don't have that type team this year. But on the top level, where you got, you know, with Tanaya Lassen coming in from the transfer portal, and you got Medina coming in from the transfer portal, and then bringing back, you know, Raven and Tesla has been amazing. That portion has been great. But this team isn't as deep as the teams in the past, like straight 10 players being amazing. But it's pretty tight. It's pretty tight, though.
Hey, Will, just this is Andre here. Just talk about South Carolina, maybe the latest you've heard on the injury side of things. I know that they had a few injuries kind of bug them for the last couple of games, and do you expect that to affect Saturday's game?
Well, you got Tania, who came back to play in Tennessee, but she did have a big old bulky knee brace, Tania Lassen, and she played well. She balled out. So we got that still going on. You got Maddie McDaniel, you know, the backup point guard, who's been getting, you know, 20-plus minutes in conference play. She's nursing an ankle injury. You know, she was in a boot in versus the Tennessee game. And it's just been a weird season with injuries this season. There's been so many injuries throughout the year with injuries and then, you know, suspension. And it's just a weird dynamic that Don Staley has been dealing with. But I would say if Tania plays, that's terrific. Maddie is day-to-day, so we will see how that goes. Today's, what, Wednesday? Or Tuesday, I'm sorry. So we still got a few days to see how that ankle responds. Young people get well very quick, so we'll see how that happens.
Yeah, and then second off, it's going to be Mylaysia Fulwiley's first game back, you know, facing her former team. Talk about maybe the dynamic she brings to this game where South Carolina may know her tendencies as a player, but then she may know, you know, Dawn Staley's system and the way she likes to do in-game preparation for against Mulkey specifically.
Brother, I am so perplexed with Mylaysia. With lay with the butter being with LSU, because when it actually happened, I was a little tear came down my eye. I'm not gonna lie, man, because I've been watching her play since she was in eighth grade. So she has been a hometown hero in the Columbia area and for the state for so long. But you talk about her knowing the tendencies, and the crazy thing about Mylaysia is that, you know, she played AAU ball with some of the girls on the team as well. So it's not just the South Carolina, you know, 2 years that she was there. There are a lot of tendencies on both sides, and I have two Mylaysia jerseys, so I am tripping with this, you know. So I want her to do well, but not too well. Yeah. I don't want her to do the loop de loops and the back to back things that she's been doing forever against us. But I just can't wait. It's weird because you're right; they do know each other's tendencies, and I'm sure Lay is telling her teammates and the coaching staff some of the tendencies that our girls have, but it goes both ways.
Hey, Will, this is Todd. Is there, let's just cut right to the chase, is there any bad blood between Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey?
No, I wouldn't say bad blood. I would say I would say there is a mutual respect, but they ain't going out to dinner.
Yeah,
you know, so is I mean, they are two hard nosed coaches, and both of them, you know, they cut from the same cloth, really. Both of them were dynamic players in college, and both of them, you know, gold medalists and things of that nature, and both of them have national championships. So they just do it different ways. But I wouldn't say it's bad blood, so to speak.
When you look at this LSU team, I don't know how much you've watched LSU this year, but do you see anything different about this LSU team than you've seen the last 4 years that Mulkey's been here?
They are, it's weird because with my eyes, I see a basketball team that is small in the post. You got Amaya Joyner, who's about 6'2". You got Zakiya Johnson, who's, you know, top 10 recruit, who's about 6 foot playing guard. I saw her play in the Under Armour Elite a couple of years ago. But then you got Kate Koval, who's 6'5", transfer from Notre Dame and everything. They are so deep at the guard position. So I love the improvement of Jada Rashard. I love me some Jada Rashard. I'm not going to lie. I love the improvement of Michaela Williams. This team is, for them to be the size that they are, but be so really, really good at rebounding the basketball, they are so aggressive. They are, it's a lot of, you know, it's almost like gang rebounding. You know, they don't watch. You have a lot of basketball teams who watch the ball, but they actually attack the basketball in terms of rebounding. And South Carolina, even though Carolina's going to deploy, you know, 6'6" Medina and 6'7" Alicia and potentially a 6'5" Adele Tack, we got to rebound the basketball well. Otherwise, LSU is just going to slip up through there and the guards is going to rebound the basketball and be on a fast break.
What do you think is going to have to happen for South Carolina to come in here and control the game similarly to what they have the last several years? Are they going to have to play more half-court type of offense, or are they going to try to run? What do you think is going to happen?
I think that you're going to see some of the stuff that happened with Tennessee a couple of days ago. I think you're going to see more of the zone. Dawn Taylor played more zone in that Tennessee game than she's ever played before. And I think when you can deploy the size that we have in the post, and they cover so much area with their arms and their legs, they can cover, you know, so much space. I think you're going to see more of that, and that will kind of but the problem with that is LSU shoots the three ball so well. So if you have a basketball team like LSU who's shooting, you know, fifth in the country in terms of three-point percentage, albeit they don't shoot many three-pointers, they can shoot the ball very well. Right. That might present a problem for Carolina, but I expect a lot of zone from Don. And I don't want it to turn into a track meet. We're already low in numbers. And LSU, y'all play, like, so fast and pace the play. So I want Don might pull back some, you know. But the situation with our girls is the environment there is going to be off the chain. And you have some girls who have not been through that yet. So it might, you know, take a couple of a few possessions to get it together. But I'm looking for an amazing basketball game on Saturday night.
Is it as big of a rivalry? Is LSU, does South Carolina consider LSU a rival?
I don't think so. I think Carolina considers Texas a rivalry. I don't think it because and the reason I don't say it's a rivalry per se is it's been so long since LSU's beat us. So in order to establish a true rivalry, it got to be some more back and forth. Now there's been some great games. I was at the game when the whole thing with the pushing of Flage and everything that happened in Greenville. Now Saturday, the media might make it more of a rivalry than it's actually been. You throw in the mix with Malaysia playing against our former teammates, that creates a whole different aspect of the quote unquote rivalry. And, I just don't think it's a rivalry just yet.
One more question on that subject. You mentioned Texas is the big rival in South Carolina's eyes. Did it give South Carolina, you think, any pause to see LSU really handle Texas in that first game this year? Now, they didn't do it last week, but they did in that first game 3 weeks ago.
It had to because watching that game, I thought that Texas, the first game that was played, I thought that Texas was going to, you know, they was just outsize them. But they didn't out-rebound them. They didn't out-tough them. They made Texas commit so many turnovers. That pressure got to them, and I thought Texas pressure was going to do that to LSU. On the opposite end, in the second game, more of that pressure happened because you had Lay with 6 turnovers and you had, you know, Michaela with 5 turnovers. But LSU proved that they can deal with elite size and elite defense and come out on top. That was a terrific basketball game. And LSU was one of the top teams. I would say top 4 basketball teams in the country. It's just going to be, I think in this basketball game itself, it's going to be who control the boards, who limit their turnovers.
Yeah.
If you have South Carolina, if Carolina has 20 turnovers, it's going to be a situation for us. You know, we have to take care of the basketball because you guys will deliver and finish at the end if we don't.
Do you think you'll shoot 69%?
That was unbelievable. It was like we couldn't even miss. That was ridiculous. I mean, you had a situation with Tennessee's players loafing. You know, I was embarrassed watching that game and for the Tennessee folks because you can't – for the way they play and the way they deploy their players in terms of subbing and things like that, you can't have players almost giving up and not even trying to get back. And then Kim Caldwell trying to you know, talk at the press conference. You know, it's just ridiculous. And no, we will not shoot 69% from the field on Saturday. I guarantee that.
It should be a fantastic game, Captain. I mean, people are very excited about it here, and I agree with you. It can't be a rivalry until LSU wins one of these games. And for right now, LSU's just kind of the you know, they're just you know,
they're a little bro.
They're little, yeah. I don't even know if they're a little bro or a little sis at this point. You got to at least win one of these games. And again, I think it goes back to my first question that I asked you, is that the belief is this is the time for LSU. But we'll see if it happens. Thanks for your time, man, and good luck with the podcast as you continue on with it. It's Gamecocks Talk with Captain Will. We appreciate your time here tonight.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, fellas, and go Cocks.
All right, there we go. Gamecocks Talk with Captain Will. Let's take a break. More from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. Tonight, we're broadcasting from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. This is Tiger Rag Radio.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me. Home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, just a couple minutes here in this segment as we are broadcasting again from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. Good conversation here about Saturday night's game between LSU and South Carolina. We heard from Reed Darcy. Reed Darcy mentioned turnovers being a big key. We just heard from Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk. I mean, yeah, I think turnovers is always is big. He had a pretty interesting insight on LSU, talking about how kind of small they are, but the depth. Andre Todd, what do you see as the big keys in this game? We'll start with you, Andre. You've covered this. You've watched every single game this year. Been there in the PMAC for all of them. So what's your thoughts on that?
It's true, because when you look at it from the outside, it looks like LSU's, you know, they're a mismatch in the right ways for opponents, right? Like Texas was way on paper, they were way bigger than LSU, but LSU was still really able to control the paint all game against Texas, really. And then you look at even Kentucky, they really didn't struggle with Clara Strack for most of the game. And so same thing with Reagan Beers. I mean, LSU is able to really, I guess, bang down low with any team. So I think that's kind of where Will was coming from. I think he thinks that's been the most surprising part of the team this year. And I would say the same thing. I didn't, you know, when I talk with Reed and Todd and others, I also kind of am a little surprised that they have done so well when it comes to down low, especially being a little bit undersized, and when Kate Koval is not in the game. So I would think no matter what, though, their defensive ability is going to keep them in every game that they play.
Well, I hope, for LSU's sake, that South Carolina plays a zone defense most of this game, because I think that Michaela Williams, Flauje Johnson, and Jada Richard will have a field day from outside. But I also think, going back to your point, Andre, I think Grayson Ox is going to be a wild card in this game.
I like that prediction, yeah.
I think the way she plays down low, her relentless hustle, and just she's got that warrior mentality, I think this could be a coming-of-age game for her.
And I think they have to rely on Zakiya Johnson a lot more. You saw what she did against Texas, and they just didn't give her the ball much, right? Like, she had 7 points. She got her own offensive rebounds on back-to-back possessions. They're going to have to let her get hot, and they're going to have to keep her in the game a little more against South Carolina.
Let's take our final break here on Tiger Rag Radio. We'll wrap up the show when we come back from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. You're listening to Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit LAFarmBureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger fans, are you looking for the latest news on all things LSU? Then Tiger Rag Magazine is your go-to source. Whether you pick up the magazine or browse over to the website, Tiger Rag Magazine provides you with the most up-to-date information on all the sports, university, and recruiting news that matters to you. Find it at your local newsstand or online at TigerRag.com. Here we go! Let's face it, we all know that the recruiting scene at LSU can get a little wild. Don't fret. Now more than ever, Tiger Rag Magazine is staying ahead of the game when it comes to name, image, likeness regulations. Thanks to our Tiger Rag Magazine experts and analysts, we can help you understand what it means to LSU and how you can stand formed on this rapidly changing landscape. Plus, our website makes it easy for fans to get their hands on all the information they need about LSU athletics. Get your subscriptions today. So, if you're looking for in-depth coverage of everything LSU, look no further than Tiger Rag Magazine. Available on newsstands or online, TigerRag.com.
Let's go!
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Good show here from the East Baton Rouge Parish Main Library on Goodwood Boulevard. We heard from Kendall Rogers, Jay Johnson, a lot of baseball talk in hour one. We've talked a lot of women's basketball here in hour number two of Reed Darcy and then Captain Will from Gamecocks Talk. If you missed the show or want to re-listen to it, you can catch us anywhere you get your podcast or up on YouTube a little later on tonight. And we also put shows up at TigerRag.com. So as we were talking about really for the last couple of hours, a huge weekend coming up here for LSU athletics. Baseball gets underway. It'll be fun to watch Lane Kiffin throw out the first pitch on Friday, right? Or do they always bring back guys from the year before too? So maybe it might not happen Friday, but I bet he gets out there sometime this weekend to throw out the first pitch.
I'm just glad to know that he knows now that Jay Johnson coaches LSU baseball and they've won two out of the three last national champions.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I took away from tonight where I was like, wow.
For people that are just listening, we had Jay Johnson on, and Todd asked him, I think, probably one of the biggest questions that have been asked, like, who did you tell him about the Tiger, is it emoji? I guess the Tiger emoji is the best way to put it, whenever you get a commit or a signing or whatever. And Jay Johnson told us that Lane Kiffin never knew who Jay Johnson was until he finally came on campus and never knew who won the national championship in baseball last year. Lane Kiffin's got to get up with it, that this is a baseball town.
He knows now. And evidence of that was he texted Jay the other day and said, hey, man, I got to stop by and see you, but I've been busy recruiting. And he has. And that was one of the questions, too, if you missed it, was who works harder, you or him? Who sleeps more, you or him? And we didn't get a definitive answer.
No, we didn't. Didn't get a definitive answer who's going to start at second base either.
No, we didn't. we found out Tanner Reeves is going to be the number four outfielder.
I was surprised this, you know, so I wrote up a little thing up on WWL.com about the top newcomers that I thought, and I was going to put Jake Ruckert out there, but I'm like, where is he going to play? Because I've seen him play enough in high school. He's a really, really good player. But that was interesting to hear. He could be a defensive replacement.
Late innings.
But he's a guy that he's going to start at short next season when Milam moves on. And if Milam decides to, you know, move on, obviously, he could come back for a senior season, which I don't think he would. So I think that's part of the thinking from Jay is we got to get this. We don't want – if he's going to be our starting shortstop next year, we don't want him – this is going to be his first action.
You know, and I know this probably ain't going to surprise you guys, especially you, Jeff, because you talked so much about him last year. And I know he had a great game, you know, scrimmage game last week. But I'm actually surprised that William Schmidt is going to probably be one of the top three starters right now. I just thought they have so much talent that I thought that they would utilize him differently. But it sounded like he's got a leg up on that.
Well, and then to hear that, I thought a guy like Marcos Paz would be someone destined for the bullpen. Now, no, those guys could potentially start, and then the other guy as well.
Rickard.
Yeah, and then he mentioned the third one too, the one from Ohio, Cincinnati, who was fantastic. But those guys are going to be pushing, and that's what's great about this team is that if somebody does falter this season, a Zach York, say Chris Stanfield hits 240 and you're going to move on from him, or not necessarily move on, but you need some more offense. There are guys ready to step up all over the place. So
the thing with Kendall Rogers, the D1, it sounded to me like he really thinks LSU is headed towards
all
the
right.
national title.
We got to go. That's it for Tiger Rag Radio. We'll be back. We'll see you again next Tuesday night here. Have a great night, everyone.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.